readings here?
Right.
Okay. 203 TCD Board of Supervisors monthly meeting Tuesday, April 24th, 2018, 2:03 p.m. Welcome, one and all. Let's do introductions. Let's start over here.
Okay, I am Heather Ross Kelly, and I'm taking the board minutes.
Sarah Moorhead, TCD staff.
Then what?
Samantha Fleischner, TCD board.
Richard Magmar, TCD board.
Eric Johnson, TCD board and chair.
Linda Powell, TCD board.
Clyde Russell, board member.
Tony Wilson, citizen.
Paul Pickett, supervisor-elect.
Paul Holroyd, resident.
Kathy Turk, resident.
Thank you, Kathy.
Pat Harrigan, resident.
Joe Taylor, Thirsty Ag Advisory Committee.
Shauna Joy, State Conservation Commission staff.
Thank you, everybody. And then what we have here, we are recording this meeting, just to let you know. And for those of you who would like to participate with us, I'd like to have Richard lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. Do we have any public comment? Did you have a public comment sign up too?
Yes.
I didn't see one. It was on the table. But
I was the first one to sign. I'll go ahead and comment if you want.
Okay.
Then anybody else can sign it. I just wanted to comment. I think that you should consider a policy about information entered in a meeting by anonymous sources. I believe that if someone provides a comment that they want on the record, their name should be identified. And if they're not willing to identify their name, I don't think it should be on the record. If they're raising issues that should not be in a public meeting, then their name should be identified in executive session. But I think that it's created a lot of confusion and frustration with comments being provided from anonymous sources. When I was on the PUD, our attorney said, we had an anonymous letter come to our executive manager, to me, saying our executive manager done all these horrible things. Our attorney said, if it's anonymous, pay no attention to it. And so I'd recommend that as a policy for the board to consider.
Thank you, Paul. Next up, Tony, looks like.
As everybody on the board's aware, I had some problems getting a hold of information from the website. I want to, again, in this public meeting, compliment the staff here for moving just as quickly as they could, shorthanded as they are, short-houred as they are, to take care of somebody from the public who needed access to information that is public and from this organization. Kudos.
Thank you, Tony. Okay, I don't see other signatures, so let's go to agenda review. Go ahead, Ben.
I got two items. One is I'd like us to go through the meeting minutes. The old one's quicker, so we can provide the public access to the minutes on the website quicker rather than later.
I agree.
The two, and maybe I just missed this, but we were going to have a pre-meeting with the Board of County Commissioners. I'm not sure where that should fit in here, or if I just missed the time. I think there was a doodle poll, but I remember filling it out because I remember your name was on it, and that was the second one. And I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah, that's one of the items I was hoping to add to the agenda for discussion, just for some clarification. I sent out a reminder as well. Three supervisors indicated their availability on there. May 31st is the meeting date, and I'm just looking for direction.
What was the date?
So, May 31st.
So let's put that on the agenda for discussion, and how are you labeling that discussion, and where would you like to have it on the agenda, Doug?
How about under partner reports? They're one of our partners.
Okay.
I don't think it really matters.
Okay.
But just BOCC update discussion.
So I'm going to do DBOCC update. discussion.
I was concerned that maybe I just spaced out. Must have.
That's all right. Sorry, Mrs. Fuller. Did you have anything?
About 2 minutes about the visit that Joe and I did to the 400-acre, almost 500-acre park.
Okay. Where on the agenda did you see that you'd like to put that?
At the end.
So how about after 10?
Sure.
Okay. So I'll label it, that could be a relocation discussion. So 10A, relocation / park discussion. Everybody okay with that? Okay. I don't have anything, I don't think. Sarah?
Yeah, I wanted to add a few things that are really process-oriented but need board approval for. One is an amendment to one of our CREP practice incentive payment loans from the commission. It's an increase in that loan amount through CREP, and it's just over my signing threshold, so I wanted to include that for consideration.
You want to put it on E under financial report?
Sure.
Okay, so E, CREP, project, approval.
And it's an increase in the practice incentive payment.
Okay.
Advance from the commission.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, we got two other things in the mail today. One is just a signing of an MOU with Thurston County Environmental Health for their spending of the funding for the Shellfish Fund work program for the RISER rebate program that Thurston County has. So those funds have already been approved and allocated by yourselves. And then this is just signing the MOU so that they're able to bill and be reimbursed for those funds.
So let's do that under their financial report E.
Okay.
That's BF after E, BF. And then so that would be MOU, Shellfish. Let's go. Fund approval.
Mm-hmm. Memorandum of Understanding.
Yeah, I got MOU, Shellfish Fund approval. Okay, anything else?
Last thing, again, process, is the final sort of chunk continuation of our RCO grant, the next $15,000 installment that will carry through that program over until the next contract. Another amendment.
So G, G under financial report, G, so RCO
amendment. And it's number 7.
Approval. So I have that as F and then G, RCO amendment. Okay. Anything else? Go ahead.
So the staffing plan discussion, I'm just wondering, is that going to address like the vacant positions?
I think it had multiple facets of it.
Okay. Yeah. And then just before...
Say that again, staffing plan, and then say it.
The vacant positions.
Vacant.
And then just before the work session started, Joel sent an email out to all of us.
Yep.
It should probably be included in public comment. He asked for that to be.
Yeah.
So it was with regards to action item 11.
Okay.
Which is number 12.
I think so.
I don't have to copy that email.
No, it's Sarah's. I think she's going to read that for all of us. So.
So his comments are not written for public consumption.
No, it's asked. It's asked for public comment, so.
So how do you...
Just, I mean, that's all I wanted was just to mention that this be part of... Because because I think that only you and I are the ones that check even on our phones, so that's why I brought it up.
Okay. Venus wants any discussion today be held in open public meeting.
With regards to him, yeah.
With regards to him, I'm okay with that. I would say we still...
But that's, so that's at item number 12, so we're good. So it's there because it's not an executive session.
Okay.
Well, just as a reminder, if the executive session is to address any complaints or evaluate complaints about the public, about a public officer or employee, as mentioned in that letter, they have the ability to request that that discussion happen in an open public meeting or a public hearing. So that's why you're seeing that email.
Go ahead. I'd like to add in, I need more clarification discussion on the November letter to the WSCC.
So you want to do after the executive session then?
Which November letter?
The one that she sent. Okay. So 11A WSCC letter.
I don't think that it should be referred to as WSCC letter. It was a letter drafted by myself.
Okay, so how do you want it to... letter to WSCC. How's that?
Okay.
Letter...
How about Samantha's letter to WSCC?
You can do that too. I'll put her name on it.
Well, that's... I mean, it's a letter that I wrote.
Okay.
It's public information. Everyone can have a copy.
Okay, so Samantha... So 11A...
So is that an executive session?
No.
Samantha's, so it shouldn't be an A.
It shouldn't be an 11A.
Oh, you're right. Thank you for the clarification on that. So...
It's the new 11, which was 10, right? The review of the governance plan? Is that where you put it?
You put it after.
After 12? Okay. Let's do that. Thank you. So...
Is it appropriate to ask then if, given this letter from Joel, is executive session no longer on the agenda?
No, I'd like to keep that executive session for more discussion on.
It's fine. I don't need to know.
Yeah. Is that it, Richard?
We do it. Discussion.
My question was the same as if that.
Yeah, just keep it on there. More discussion of the receive and evaluate complaints charges brought against a public officer or employee. Mm-hmm. Oh. Do you have anything else under that topic?
I think it, what I would do is encourage the board to strike that unless you have a topic specifically that fits under that use of executive session.
Yeah, I'm sure that what I was thinking would.
Well, it wouldn't be that. It would be,
what's the other one we did last time? The, an executive session. We had two of them. We were doing public complaints, charges brought against a public officer or employee. And then there was, what's personnel matters under?
There is a discussion. I can look up the exact wording because you'll want to note that if that's what you're...
I think that's what we need to do.
Published as part of the minutes of this meeting.
That's what he's asking for.
The reason I ask is I don't keep paper.
To review the performance of a public employee?
Yeah. Evaluate performance of a public employee. You want to say it exactly so we can put that on there?
Yeah, that's what it is. To evaluate the qualifications of an applicant for public employment or to review the performance of a public employee.
Okay, is that what you want? Yes. Okay. Can we change it to that? Okay.
Anything else?
Yes.
I just would like to remind you that if it is a complaint that's been brought forth about a public employee, they still have the same right to request that it be in an open public meeting or a public hearing. So I just want to make sure we're doing our due diligence and notifying the individual.
Okay.
Okay. Onward. Closing agenda review. Mr. Swotek is not here for partner reports, but we have Shauna Joy with WSCC. Hi, Shauna.
Hi, everybody. I'll get closer to the recorder. So I have some handouts for you this time.
More paper.
More paper.
I'm sucking up to dry by supporting the forest industry.
It won't go.
We've got three pieces. I was too lazy to collate them, so you'll have to pass it out.
Collate them ourselves?
Exactly.
So the first piece is the most recent edition of the Quick Notes, which comes out from the commission. There's a lot of good stuff in this one, not to say that the ones in the past don't have a lot of good stuff, but this one's multiple pages, and I thought you might find it helpful information. So I printed off copies for all of you. And the very last piece of that first handout is the standard one accountability elements that are part of our Conservation Accountability and Performance Program, or CAP. So right now we're going through the process of the commission where we review all the 45 conservation districts with respect to those accountability elements. So that's a blank for your reference. The second handout is my review of where you are at as far as Thurston CD goes with those accountability elements right now. And you'll see that some of the boxes are checked on the front. And then if you look at the back, I've made some notes about where there are not check boxes. Okay, so a couple of those, you do have some areas for improvement there. And the reason I'm bringing this to you now is because we will prepare a draft report to the full commission at our May meeting about where all the conservation districts are at. That's a preliminary report. Then we prepare a final report in July that goes back to them. So this is an opportunity to see where I'm thinking you're at with respect to those accountability elements. And then we're going to keep tracking this, going through the May report to the commission and then the July report to the commission. And the very last piece of that handout is your action plan that you presented to me back on January 30th. And I've made some notes on that as far as what I've observed or been able to observe as far as actions or progress made on those. And it looks like you have an agenda item later down on the agenda, so we can go through that one in more detail if you'd like. And that's kind of my report from the commission today. If you have any questions about CAP or what that means, I'm happy to answer those questions.
Any questions for Sean?
I would just point out that the commission's having a very important policy meeting tomorrow and next day.
That's correct. So we're having a two-day meeting for all districts. And yes, that's tomorrow and Thursday. We're going to talk about budget decision package development for the next biennial budget request. It's like this is the process that never ends. So that's the 19-21 biennial budget. We'll be kicking off discussions about what sorts of things we want to request funding for as a commission and conservation district family. So, but that discussion is not going to be the be-all, end-all in the next 2 days. That's just going to start there. So there's going to be a lot more opportunities to participate, to help write things if you want, to get your district's view on those decision packages sent in to us. We're also going to talk about the commission's strategic planning effort that we're going to take up at the May commission meeting. So this two-day meeting in the next couple days is kind of the district's pre-opportunity to talk to us about what your priorities are for us. So the commission's going to look at what's important for us to be doing, and this is your opportunity to give us some feedback on that. We're also going to hear updates on the 5 policy initiatives that we've kind of been working on for, I don't know, a number of months now, maybe not quite a year. And hear where those are at. We had a little bit of a delay in work with a bunch of those because our policy director, Ron Schultz, was, and these are his words, in a coma for a while, which kind of set work back on those things. But Doug's right, we're going to be holding that meeting the next couple days in Ellensburg.
Any questions for
Do you have any additional copies of the handouts you passed out?
I can send those to you electronically as part of my follow-up, so you can attach them to the minutes or post them or whatever you want to do.
Could you just clarify who exactly is meeting in Ellensburg?
So it's the commission staff, conservation district, supervisors and staff, and usually WACD participates in these, we call them all district meetings. So you'll hear that term, and we probably do, I would say 2 to 4 of these a year, Doug, is about right. Depending on big statewide topics that come up, we'll pull together an all-district meeting so that we can talk with all 45 conservation districts about their views on whatever that topic is.
And they can be really, really important. The one last year was a major shift in how stuff was looked at, particularly with funding, and it was so such an abrupt turn that the volunteer lobbyists decided they didn't want to turn with the rest of the group.
Yeah. But it's CD staff, you know, the CD executive directors usually?
Board members and staff are invited.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so we usually get a good mix of both. Yep.
Are you going, Doug?
No, as you can tell, I don't feel really good right now, and I got a logger that's showing up at 7:30 tomorrow morning.
You should just let him do whatever on your property, Doug.
I used to be a timber sale minister.
I know, I was poking fun.
Can you get Paul some more information on that? It looks like he has some curiosity.
Yeah, I'd just like to learn. Yeah. I don't know if I can make it, but I didn't know if any of
some of the,
if Doug's not going, any of you is are going.
So I like to go to some of them, but I'm leaving to go over there Friday for something else. So, yeah.
Oh. Well, Mr. Spontag. I would put in a plug for the Quick Notes too. They're really good, so I'll get on that list. And one of the things I like about them is all these blue underlined things. Those are hyperlinks. That means you don't have to go and find it. You just click on it.
You can subscribe to get these?
Absolutely. So most of our notices come out through our Gov delivery system. And you're so on top of things, Paul, that you want to get all your like orientation done before your election is certified. And I'm just not quite there yet. But that's usually part of the orientation I go over with you, is to get you signed up with that.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, so it looks like you want some information. I didn't realize that, yeah, you have an orientation yet.
Right. He's not official yet, so.
Okay. So.
But that's okay. You can still come and participate if you'd like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, give it away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else for Shauna? Well, let's circle around the wagons.
Sorry, Mark.
And come back to Mr. Jeff Swotek. How's NRCS these days, Jeff?
Pretty good. For the record, my name is Jeff Swotek at USDA NRCS here in Olympia, Washington. Great to be here. Sorry I was late back from Puyallup. Anyway, the one thing I have to report to you is we're now finishing up on writing our plans for round 2 environmental quality incentive program applications. Those applications will actually be ranked on the 4th of May. After the 4th of May, we'll know who's in the running for funding. Round 2 does include future directions, which is the salmon money that NRCS has in EQIP. And so once we get this round done and completed, then we're done with the environmental quality incentives program for the year. And we turn our attention to 2019, which already we've gotten a really strong sign-up, very strong sign-up. And I anticipate a very robust year for 19.
We're only going, question, you're only doing 2 rounds?
That is correct. Yeah, if people want a management plan, like a comprehensive nutrient management plan, forest management plan, energy management plan, they can still sign up. There's a possibility, although very remote, that they would be funded. But being that the program has a continuous sign up, it's really important for people to sign up Don't worry about any cutoff dates, and so they're in the queue, and so they can just continue on with life, and when it comes time to do the writing of the plans and the screening and the ranking, you know, they'll know about it, as opposed to missing a time like that. So yes, essentially only two rounds of EQIP, so unlike last year where we had three rounds, that was a bit much.
And so for 19, that'll be a fresh start. You won't go back to 18 and do medium.
The local working group met and provided some great input for the 2019 program. That'll be integrated, and that input will be integrated into the model for 2019. And that will be the basis for how we administer that program from that year. For more than 1 year, I think it is. But anyway, that'll be the basis for what we do next year. And so whether or not we're going to have two rounds or three rounds or one round remains to be seen. I would probably hedge a bet and say probably two rounds. But again, great representation across from, you know, forestry, you know, dairy, you know, crop, everybody be happy. Everybody was well represented as far as the industries here at Thurston County, livestock and otherwise.
Go ahead, Dad. I would like to say I used to go to the local work group meetings and quit going because I thought they were a waste of time.
Yes.
This one was not. It was
thank you. It was yeah, fun. It was. Credit to Amy on that. Amy is really spot on. And I think what you guys don't realize is the input that you gave drove millions of dollars worth of money obligated to this region. It wasn't just the local working group application or obligation that we get, it was all that other funding, and so way to go. That's what I would say. Definitely good job.
And any more updates on the endangered species plans that are coming up? I know the last update was possibly July.
Yeah, so
does that look like it's been going to be extended or shortened?
Yeah, okay, I can answer that. We have two things going on right now. Actually, two things and then one thing for the future. First, NRCS has been actively writing a programmatic biological assessment for our listed endangered species that we have here in Thurston County and some additional species while we were at it, like the marbled murrelet and some of the other critters in the forest. So they lumped a consultation with the service for a large geographic area to include other species besides our prairie. But we're consulting with the service one time with the idea that we don't have to do in the future individual programmatic consultations on a project by project basis, which is a loser for everybody. So if we consult one time, then we'll be good for 30 years. It's like going in and getting your building, all the building permits you need for 30 years here in Erie. But anyway, so our agency's been actively working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They've been super to work with on this programmatic biological assessment. That is anticipated to be submitted in October, and then the service will have 30 days to comment, and no more than, I think it's 120 days by statute, to then render a decision form of a biological opinion, and that will give us hopefully the get out of jail, go free, and do good work for the next 30 years, of which I won't see it. But anyway, then our agency, and prior to that, has a bunch of individual projects that need consultation. So we are consulting individually on those. That individual consultation will be submitted. These are all EQIP contracts. That individual consultations will be submitted on the 7th of May, which is a big milestone. Once that's submitted, we anticipate probably still July that work can be begun on those contracts, because we anticipate having our biological opinion back by then, if not sooner. So what we're seeing is the service is working with us concurrently, and writing their BO, the biological opinion, at the same time we're writing our biological assessment instead of waiting, which is going to speed things up. It could be that we're even sooner than July. But not at the point ready to tell people, you know, July is the first date. But the good news is the service is working really, really hard to make sure that customers get the answers they need in a timely fashion. They're not waiting and then using their whole 120 days. They're actively, as a matter of fact, helping us write the biological assessment, which is pretty cool. So does that answer your question?
We're
shooting for the 7th?
I like the 7th date.
And still July, I will know on the second week of May whether or not we can, what is a firm date? I should know by the second week of May. And so I've told all of the Equip clients that have contract items that are held up because of the biological assessment, Section 7 consultation, to touch base with me middle of May, and I'll have a firmer date.
So that'd be a second week of May for a firm date of when to possibly start.
Yes, project. Yes. Give me a call. That's what I've been showing people. And I'm super pleased about this programmatic because that will be just a tremendous tool for us in Thurston because it'll eliminate the medium screening criteria that we have for eQuip now that's really just gutted some of the stuff that we could do here. The other thing is that we're in the early stages also of a new wetlands reserve. I'll announce this here because I think that's pretty exciting. It's really gaining momentum, but we have a provision under an existing program called the Wetlands Reserve Enhancement Program. Say you have wetlands, and historically the Wetlands Reserve Program retired ag use of that, and you got a permanent easement payment. But there is provision on the Wetlands Reserve Easement Program where you can enroll eligible lands and reserve a grazing right, in essence, grazing. And this is a tool that we hope to work with the service and all of our partners to hopefully make a reality in Thurston County. That is an excellent tool for Oregon spotted frog because grazing and haying and Oregon spotted frog go hand in glove together. Oregon spotted frog needs that early successional habitat that cows that are grazing provide, keeping grass vegetated, and haying also provides, so long as the other habitat attributes are there. So if that comes about, that will be a huge tool for folks here in Thurston County to actually get an easement on the land, still maintain the grazing rights, essentially the farming of that land for the benefit of the species. So hopefully, you know, in the next 6 months, we can get that finalized.
And then you'll announce
it'll be a big party.
Great information this time, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead, Richard. You done?
I'm done.
All done?
I've more than used my 2 hours.
2-3 minutes.
I want to add a few comments on to that. I've been attending some of these meetings with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and NRCS and Thurston County and all that. And I am very encouraged by the level of cooperation that I'm seeing amongst all the entities that are participating. And of course, the district is part of that. So I just wanted to add that in, that it's very encouraging to see all of them talking and trying to get this worked out.
Any more questions for Jeff? All right, moving on. WACD, NACD, Mr. Rushton.
Okay, I provided written comments last week for inclusion. I will highlight two things. WACD, the Plant Material Center up in Bowe, is, as advertised, and is interviewing for an assistant plant manager, which has been a long time coming. We've put in a ton of overtime hours and comp time, and building up like literally thousands of hours of comp time and taking it off and kind of leaving everybody in the lurch. So I think having an assistant will help with that. And on the NACD front, the House side of the Congress passed a farm bill, just the House side, and NACD provided comments on that, basically saying that they thought it was a good deal. and two other interesting things, more of a personal thing. I used to sit on this thing called the Forest Resources Coordinating Committee for NACD, and the main liaison was a lady named Vicki Christensen, who used to be our state forester here in Washington State. She's now chief of the Forest Service, like chief of the NRCS, except three times as big. So that's a pretty big deal. It's kind of cool. You may know her, Paul, I don't know.
Who is it?
Vicki Christensen, former state forester here. So that's all I have.
Any questions for Doug? Yes.
There's an article circulating with concerns about conservation easements in the draft farm bill. Was that something that the NACD was commenting on? And
they probably considered that, or they should have. I don't remember that specifically. Yeah, but I personally don't get too excited because it's just the House side until the Senate side gets to start a conference committee.
Yeah, I think a whole lot. They were worried about a big loss of, I don't remember the details, but making it a lot less effective. I think, I don't know, it was the budgeting or the rules or something, but they were going to cut back on the conservation quite a bit.
I don't know. Sorry.
So how long did they have to work on the second part of the Senate?
They take as long as they want. This is the 2014 farm bill, if you look back, when we're in 2018, so it was on forever, it seems.
On Doug's written reports, those will go into the meeting minutes too, or?
Sure, his email can go in there.
Okay.
That's what I was expecting.
Okay, so let's make sure, and then the public really can't see those meeting minutes, so or see what he's writing. So anybody that wants advance before the minutes come out, just contact Sarah and she'll forward those to you. Sound good?
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Any more questions for Doug? Hearing none. D, BOCC update discussion. I guess Sarah's on that, huh?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I sent out a doodle poll to organize a briefing with the Thurston County Commissioners, sort of an update on where things are at in terms of pursuing rates and charges for 2019. Three supervisors have responded to date on that poll, and May 31st looks like the most popular date. I'm just looking for additional direction on whether or not that date is good for everyone and if we should move forward with scheduling. It's been a little bit that doodle poll's been out there, so I will also need to reconfirm that time is available.
And that's with the BOCC themselves?
Yep.
Okay. There or here?
There.
And
they're already set up for that. They can do it then, so it's a color on us to try to make that work.
Right. I included dates on there that were open with their scheduler.
Thank you.
What's the target dates?
May 31st has been the most popular amongst three of the supervisors.
I haven't seen that doodle poll.
So, Paul, you're not a supervisor yet.
No, I will be then, though.
Yeah.
What time? I can share that to you because you won't be here.
Yeah, all the dates were like the 20s.
Sarah, what time?
Can you look at your
Yeah, I am just double checking that I have the.
I mean, that date would be fine.
Okay.
I think.
Can you? Maybe.
My only conflict is conservation district meetings.
So is this a meeting of the board and the state or the county commissioners?
County commissioners to ask for the rates and charges to be approved. There's a preliminary meeting.
Yeah.
District's supposed to have a public hearing. Then we go back and they have a hearing and adoption. Right.
Yeah, this is really an additional step in the process. This is not a required step in the process, but something that they had asked for that we just communicate frequently throughout this process so we can ensure that we're moving forward. 2 to 3 p.m. to answer your question, Linda.
What time did you say?
2 to 3 p.m. on May 31st. And Linda, you did respond.
Did I?
Yep, you responded that you were available, as did Doug and Eric. Samantha, you're right, you won't be there.
Who was the day that requested this? You said they requested?
The Board of County Commissioners.
this will be their public hearing?
No, this is just a briefing between our board of supervisors here and the Thurston County Commissioners to talk about rates and charges and, you know, how we're moving forward, what our timeline is looking like.
To the public.
We're having our hearing, our Thurston CD hearing on the 10th. We'll take public comment then. They're going to have a hearing too that's separate. But this will be us talking with them and their staff. You know, everything's kosher, everything's cool, any questions we need to ask, get answered, more data to make sure it goes through. Mm-hmm. That's the logic.
To provide some information, discussion beforehand.
Is that already on the Google Calendar, all those?
No, because I'm just looking for final direction. Since three of the supervisors did participate, I wanted to ensure that the direction was to schedule that date.
The rates and charges hearing is on there?
Oh, the rates and charges public hearing that the district is hosting, yes.
Okay. And then does supervisors want to give direction on the 31st?
I'm good for it.
What day of the week is it?
That
Friday. No, I can't tell.
Thursday. It's a better day. You'll be in town anyway, Richard. Second day. What about you, Doug? You okay to?
Yeah, I think I did. I don't remember.
You did. Mm-hmm. So I will clarify that that date's still available, and I'm hearing direction from the board to schedule this date.
Is that what she's hearing, Richard?
Mm-hmm.
Linda, Eric. Paul?
I'm sorry?
Is that what?
I'm trying to get to my calendar, but I haven't yet.
Okay. Well, Paul will let you know whether he can make it or not.
It's, what was the time?
2 to 3 p.m. on Thursday, May 31st.
It sounds okay. I will give you a thumbs up in a minute.
Has the Board of County Commissioners set the date for their hearing?
No, they don't do that step until it is adopted by our Board of Supervisors. So if it is passed there and the package and the proposal is provided to them before August 1st, then they'll schedule their
thank you.
Okay.
Even though we adopted it already and had a motion that was last year,
right.
we have to start the process all over again, so we have to adopt it again. Okay, moving onward. Board meeting minute review. March 27th is first. And Sarah, do you pass that out?
I did.
Yep.
Did you
staple it?
Nope,
no.
The
unstable.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for the March 27th, 2018 frequency board.
Okay, did you have a chance to look over the final draft?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where did it go, Sarah?
No, here. Okay, Vanessa, can you throw that on that? Thank you. I got that. That just was very good. Thank you very much.
What's your Wi-Fi password?
It's capital PCD 2918.
All second.
All right, we have a first and a second. Any more discussion?
Yeah, a few minutes.
Richard says he needs a few more minutes to look over the final. Does anybody have a story they'd like to tell? Okay. How much time do you need, Richard?
A few minutes.
Okay. 2 minutes of potty break? No? Okay.
Yeah, so I have a fresh copy. I saved it in the board meeting. Oh,
It is not working.
Don't do it.
There it is.
So super stick.
They're sort of just placed about.
Security question on my email. Do you have a security policy?
About Wi-Fi access? Our Wi-Fi is public.
Welcome.
So you know we're recording this meeting. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Melinda Holman.
Melinda, nice to meet you.
Thank you.
We also have a sign-up sheet, in fact, if you'd like to note that you were here. Jeff, just a question for you while Richard's looking over that. On the conservation security program deadline approaching, did you tell us that when that date was, or did you say it was approaching?
I haven't really been pressing the program because it hasn't been a very good fit for this side of the hill. Mm-hmm. and so I kind of let it rest at that.
Can you give a 30-second.
What is it?
Yeah,
basically, it's a program that rewards good stewards for a baseline of the good work they're doing. And if they're able to take it the next level up, then they actually receive an incentive payment to do that. Initially, the reason why I wasn't really keen on it is it was a lot of paperwork, a ton of paperwork. In a case of a typical Western Washington town or farm, very piece of money, I called it. It wasn't a lot of incentive payments. They have improved it, but still it's not as good a model as I would have hoped for our locale, so I haven't really pushed it, that particular program. I think if farmers are interested in doing improvements on the farm, EQIP has probably been a better tool. That story is reflected Western Washington. I think we're less than 2% of the conservation. The CSP contracts are here in Western Washington. 98% is, you know, on the other side of the mountains, and that's reflected that it's more of a kind of a commodity program. It's a good fit for the commodity agricultural model and not so good for the non-commodity ag model. But it has gotten better. That's kind of a long, short answer.
Okay, thanks for the 30-second version.
Great.
Okay. All right, any more comments on the March 27th meeting minutes? All in favor for approval of the Tuesday, March 27, monthly meeting minutes as amended, I guess. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Looks like it's unanimous. Hard to look both ways, so. Okay. And now the January 30th meeting minutes. Did you get through all of them?
We were on line 123 on page 3.
Okay. So everybody can remember where we were. And then Eric was asking that it be added. did, it was discussed. Let's see, we 121 chair CE minutes from November WSCC commission meeting. The last meeting was being stricken off. And then, let's see, Eric announced metadata. You walked out, didn't you?
She was making copies of the meeting minutes.
Did you get what we discussed?
No, but I'm happy to take that.
Eric announced metadata. This came from the district's accounting department. Asked if Samantha, if she wrote the letter at the district. She replied, she sent it to the district.
Can you just repeat that one more time to make sure I have it?
Yeah, I didn't write it very good, but Eric announced that the metadata came back. I don't know how I said it exactly, but Eric announced that the metadata came back, however you want to wordsmith it, from the district accounting department. As Samantha, if she wrote it at the district, and she replied, she sent it to the district.
Honestly, if I were to read that in minutes, I would have no clue what happened.
Right.
I had the same comment. Like, why is it in the minutes?
Because it was discussed. Go ahead and read it, Matt.
Eric announced metadata came from the district's accounting department and asked Samantha if she wrote the letter at the district. Samantha replied that she sent it to the district.
Okay. Then 134. Anybody else have anything on that page? Okay. On the next one. So 148 to 195.
What's it, SWP?
Can you say it louder, Richard?
What's it, SWP?
Where?
Is it 150, line 150?
Let me look.
Sarah clarified that the 2018 SWP has been an ongoing TCD board discussion since September 2017.
I'm not finding the statement that you read.
Line 50.
150.
Your ears might have changed because you did some modification.
Yeah.
It's in the bold letter. Go to the bottom.
It's
the Shellfish Work Program?
Yes, Shellfish Work Program.
It's in the heading C, 2018 Shellfish Work Program.
Okay.
And at the beginning, and the bullet point before that, it spells it out before it lists the acronym.
Right there.
So she should just behind that maybe put SWP on the number line.
It's in the bullet point prior to that one you just read it.
/163 board discussion to postpone executive director action plan based on continued analysis of funding availability. I just wrote in there what was the action plan, but I don't know, does that really need to be in there?
I believe it was creation of an action plan, like a creation of a recruitment plan.
Continued analysis of funding availability. So are we good with the way it reads then?
I would change it to recruitment plan, personally.
Okay. Recruitment plan board sounds okay?
Yep.
Okay, so on section 8, 178, January 9th, 2017, should that not be 18?
Yes.
Okay. And then, let's see here. It just says not addressed. Did we plan on addressing these and then we just skipped them? Okay. So then not addressed is appropriate then, I would say, huh? Anything else on that page, anybody? Okay, so top of the next page, which is above 200 staples in my way, to 244. Let's see. The only thing the chair had was 242, board decision staff to send board the draft agenda by 12 days before the meeting. We have some hard numbers in here that we called out, you know, and when we were working with a calendar, we were saying, okay, here, and let's try to do it here, and let's try to do it here, but I don't think there was any hard set numbers. If I take my calendar and I plug these numbers in and I go backwards, this board meeting, which we are in April, we would have had to start the very beginning of the process on the 6th, and I don't think that's what we agreed to start the process on the 6th for a 24th board meeting. So I'd like that language cleaned up. I think what we said for a 24th meeting today, that we would have a draft agenda out by the 13th, and then the board would need to comment it by the 16th. That would give them a weekend. And then the chair would hopefully on this month get to the district staff by the 17th, and then the district staff would have it out by the 18th or the 19th. The way it's written, the district staff would have to have it out by the 16th, and I don't think that's what we agreed upon. Yes, Samantha?
So these days were not business days, they were calendar days.
Oh.
So that was one thing.
Okay.
That when we had discussed this, it was...
The date.
It was... Calendar days, not business days.
Okay, because it says days, 12 days before the...
Yeah, meeting. Which would be, if it was business days, it would probably say 12 business days.
It would make more sense.
Yeah, so I mean, these are calendar days, not actual...
So this would be for February. Our meeting would have been here. So... The draft agenda would be by the 12th. That still doesn't really fly because it would have been the 16th.
So this is what was shared in the meeting because that's what's listed in the action plan. But I think that we understood the intent of that, which is what we've been trying to operate to.
Okay, so can we just take the numbers out or make this so it makes sense so we're not looking ugly? Because... This would, even if we did it for a January example, it would have been the 19th. See, so it still doesn't correlate. And if we were talking about February, it would have been the 19th.
Both days. 8 days before the meeting. You're talking about the 8 days before the meeting.
The finalizing the agenda 8 days before the meeting.
The Monday.
Eric.
Go ahead, Sarah.
The Monday of the week.
That's Sarah Claire.
I think you have the ability to take that out of these meeting minutes as well.
Right.
So it's already listed in the action plan.
Mm-hmm.
So this says what is in the action plan. But it's whether or not you even want this discussion component reflected in the minutes.
I mean,
you could just say board decided on dates that were included in the action plan.
What do you think about that?
I think that it should just say board decision, dates, and action plan, and we can get rid of those three lines.
Okay. Sound good, Dan? Linda?
So no discussion. Sure.
Richard? Okay. Yeah. And then on the back, I had nothing. Did Ed, well, let me, don't jump ahead. Anything else? Anything on that page? From above 200 to 244 for anybody?
No.
No? Okay. Back page 245 to 266? Nothing? Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the TCD Board of Supervisors monthly meeting minutes from Tuesday, January 30th, 2018 at 2 p.m. As amended.
I'll second.
Actually, you can.
I second.
There you go. Thanks for stepping up.
Excellent.
Sure. Shane, more discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to make sure that we know under the president meeting that I was absent due to my representative state. That's good. We talked about that.
Everything that we discussed in the work session, you're going to have incorporated in this document, correct?
It's already up to date.
Okay. And then maybe while we're on break or something, you could hit print and we could look that over real quick.
Go ahead. And that would include the Jim Doshea comments too that we referenced on the old 938.
And any other.
Yeah.
I mean, we can approve it or you can print it and then we can approve it.
I don't want a printed copy.
Well, you don't have that one, but maybe. Did you want a printed copy to look at? Richard wants one. Did you want a printed copy?
Yes.
Okay. So, three printed copies and no printed copy.
No.
Three printed copies and two no printed copies. And then, but we can, do you want to go ahead and approve them or call for a vote and then look them over? If there's a problem, then we'll rectify it. All in favor, any more discussion? No? Okay. Yeah, I have a first and a second. Okay, so Board of Supervisors monthly meeting minutes, Tuesday, January 30th, as amended on 2018. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I abstain.
Four ayes, Doug abstains. Okay.
While you start to look at the next set, I'm going to grab those off the printer for you.
Thank you very much. No, special board meeting minutes. Transcription agreed. Tuesday, November 21st, 2017. Any comments? I know you have comments on it, Richard.
Yes, we have Sarah.
Okay. Read through it. Thank you. Well, you can do that when you get to this meeting.
Yeah.
Or is that in the, what we're going to do next? This meeting. What we're going to do next?
Well, this is now, right here.
January 3rd. You can bring it up. I don't know if you need to.
I don't know either. Well,
talk about it.
Right now?
Yeah. Because we're in discussion. We haven't heard it. We already did it. We already approved it. I'd say just bring it up. Since we already approved it. Okay. Looks okay to me.
Looks okay to everybody else?
Two comments. One is, this is the one where I was on the phone, so I couldn't hear a lot of what was going on. And two, I'd really encourage my colleagues to read this stuff beforehand. We just spent 10 minutes of everybody's time
reading what? We're reading, we're not reading that, we're reading this.
Yeah,
the corrections.
The corrections. I've already done what you just asked. Okay, so let's go back to, okay, I'll start on Tuesday, November 21st, line 20 to line 38 needs to be removed. We're not in, I did not call the meeting to order at 1 o'clock. I called the meeting to order at 1:20, and all of this discussion from line 20 to 38 was prior to the meeting. Any comments?
Do we also know, was that part audio recorded?
I believe so.
So then the audio recording should start when the meeting started, not prior to the meeting.
Also, it wasn't, it was you that did that, not Richard.
Well, if
this
it's
is
stric-
all coming out
if,
anyway,
if it's stricken, it doesn't matter. So
yeah.
Do you guys agree that it should be stricken?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If you're, you guys can't make motions outside of a meeting, so if you're making motions, then the meeting did start, right?
There was no motion.
There was a motion made. I have the transcription.
Well, the transcription's wrong. We never did that. Richard moved to cancel the meeting. That's incorrect. I said that as a chair, I wanted to cancel the meeting.
Without
because of the because the agenda was done wrong. So we hadn't even started the meeting.
So it says, I'll make a motion under those circumstances that we cancel the meeting. Okay, I'll second it, is what the chair said. So in theory, we weren't in a meeting, but yet a motion was made and you seconded. So in theory, we are then in a meeting. Whether you called it to order or not, you said, okay, it's 1 o'clock, there's some
multiple times in that, this 20 to 38, you said, Samantha, I don't understand why we're not going up the agenda, we're way down here. And I said multiple times, the meeting has not even started yet.
Yes, but like Sarah just said, in an open public meeting, you can't make a motion and second it unless you're in a meeting. But a motion was made and it was seconded.
So does that mean that we were in a meeting, or does that mean the motion and the second were out of order?
You could send it to legal review and see what they say.
As a public document, I don't think you have a choice. You have to do that at least.
Okay, so can we agree that we need to do that? Send it to legal?
Can we afford to do that?
How important is this?
We can just say we're going to take it out because there was no meeting, but if you're saying that there was a meeting, then I guess we need to have legal review.
Well, the minute you're looking at, say, you called the meeting to order.
Where?
That's the first thing it says on line 20.
It's incorrect. I never called the meeting to order.
What does the transcript say? Is that
So the transcript says, Eric Johnson, okay, it's 1 o'clock. There are some discrepancies in the agenda. and the way the chair asked for it to be distributed to the public, and there are some items on here that seem to not be prepared correctly for the special meeting today. We have certain guidelines that we have to follow on special meetings. I would like to go ahead and cancel the meeting and repost the agenda properly and reconvene at a later time. Any discussion? And that's where all of the discussion ensued. And so I commented, and then Eric commented, and then Richard made the motion to cancel the meeting.
I did not make the motion to cancel the meeting.
Yeah, he did.
Then someone
there
did.
There was no motion.
It says, I'll make a motion under those circumstances. We cancel the meeting.
It doesn't matter what it says. You need to go to the, if there's in fact an audio recording of it, you would need to go to that, because that was part of the problem with that transcription, is that it was highly inaccurate all throughout it.
I've actually listened to that tape recording. Somebody did say that.
Okay.
As somebody who's run meetings, I was stunned the way it was going.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody made that motion. There are no voices. It's the first time I just ran across and listened to it on the website. So somebody did make, actually say, I make a motion, I move or something like that, cancel this meeting.
So then.
That statement was made. I don't know who made it.
So then, okay, so what you're proposing, Eric, is to remove items 20 through 31.
38.
Okay, that's what I was just going to say. So in theory, then that needs to be deleted as well. So then.
I think if the Board of Supervisors has a quorum and they're making motions as part of this, then we should probably have it in the public record.
Well, let's send it out to legal then and have a comment on it.
Can you make a motion if the meeting hasn't been called to order? I mean, you can say the words, but does it count?
You're a governing body making decisions, and there's a quorum of you.
You need a legal.
Acts like a duck, looks like a duck, sounds like a duck.
I would send it to legal and have a civil attorney comment on it.
Can you clarify what legal you're your?
Well, an attorney. Send it over to Philip Burgess.
But aren't you spending legal money on a moot point? Because you had the meeting.
The meeting started at 1:20. Is when the meeting started.
But I think Paul's point is, does this 20 through 38 really have any effect on the meeting? Does it really matter if it's in or out?
Yeah, because we hadn't called the meeting to order. So.
But it doesn't, it's not relevant to anything important whatsoever.
All the supervisors were present, and you were making a decision in a public setting. So.
Becomes a public meeting at that point.
But
that's how I'm about the duck analogy.
But I'm just saying the way forward is to just say this discussion occurred and the end result was that you had the meeting. If you don't want to re-argue that whole thing.
Discussion.
Unless you really want to figure out how to do it right the next time.
Make it bullet points. Discussion on whether to have a meeting or not because of agenda issues.
I mean, you could just say the chair suggested the meeting should be canceled. There was a discussion. They moved ahead and started the meeting.
Yeah, because, I mean, with regards to this, then all of the comments that you made about Doug's inability to vote happened before the meeting as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then, in theory, anything that Doug would have voted on would have been fine because we didn't have a policy at that point.
No.
And if we're going by the statute, which had occurred before, where you could vote by phone.
There was no.
There's no statute.
Well, I'm saying in the past, Doug had been able to vote by phone. He's been on the board longer than all of us put together. So that's what I'm saying, is that if you're looking historically how things have been done, so then all of Doug's votes would then count because this discussion prior to the meeting wouldn't mean anything.
Right, Sarah?
I'm concerned about liability if we omit that part from the meeting and start the meeting at 1:20. It was advertised at 1 with these members of the public in the room, and there were motions made by a quorum of a governing body. And to me, that constitutes a meeting. I mean, that's why we're super careful that anytime you guys are going to the same workshop, I even post, hey, there's a potential quorum. We don't anticipate business, but there will be at least 3 of you there. Perhaps we can ask the commission if they have any thoughts on this.
Well, in this time frame, I stated at least three times that we were not in a public meeting yet.
Right, and I don't know if that matters legally or not.
Okay, well, let's send it to the and find out a legal opinion.
Would MRCS be able to look at this?
The attorney for all every agency in the state is the attorney general's office, and they'll answer your question if you ask them.
Okay, let's send it to the AG's office and ask them. Go ahead, Shauna.
They're not free. So I want to point out, whether you pay your private legal counsel or you try to get the attorney general's office,
they're not
free. They're not free. Huh. They're not free to the commission either.
Really?
Really. They're what's called a chargeback agency.
Huh.
So that means for every hour of their time, we pay for it. So if you want an hour of their time, you have to pay for it.
Huh.
What's the rate, you know?
I have not been privy to their bills.
Hi.
Hi.
Maybe Doug has in the past, but you're going to get a quicker answer. Well, you can get a free answer from MRSC. I just Googled their resources, and I didn't find anything that fits the situation, so you'd have to ask them a new question.
Who enforces the Open Meetings Act?
That depends on which entity. I've looked into this before. Let me think for a minute.
That's for the executive.
Yeah, for local governments, I mean, it's kind of wonky.
The discussion did happen.
But I think we could ask MRSC or MCRS, whatever it is, and or Endorus. Because Endorus used to give one hour free legal consultation a month. I don't know if that's still an effective one.
I think we utilize that weekly.
Well, but if it goes off each month,
staff does.
But in the spirit of trying to do it right, call them up and say, this is what we got going on. What's the best way to handle this equitably?
I would suggest trying to use MRSC because they are free to you guys.
I think the preamble of the Open Meetings Act is the defining moment of what you should do in an open meeting. What the people's rights are to do. It's not this body's option to decide what the people can or cannot do.
We're confused about what
this happened. So in an open setting, there's some people who are present and observed it, then the other people who are not present have a right to know it happened.
So was it Richard that moved to cancel the meeting? I thought it was you.
Yeah, I know it wasn't Richard. Maybe it was.
I don't know if it was a movement, but I remember you saying you wanted to cancel the meeting.
See, I guess I need to go back and listen to the audio recording, and because I don't think that there was a...
So the transcription states after, it's Eric, you said, I agree with that. There are some items on the agenda that I wanted on there, and it is a special meeting, so we cannot proceed with items that we wanted to cover that are actually in the packet the way the agenda is. So there's a motion to Richard Mankemeyer. I'll make a motion under those circumstances. We cancel the meeting. Eric Johnson, okay, I'll second it. Linda, can I know what those things are? And then Eric says, and so now we'll have a discussion. Linda, there are some action items, policies and procedures, changes on the agenda that I was prepared, but this actual one was sent out and doesn't clearly define this.
So we just need clarification if that constitutes a meeting before a public meeting, if there's discussion by the five of us. So let's do that.
Or we could just leave it there because it doesn't matter.
Let's do that.
It didn't happen.
Let's do that.
What?
No. Do what I just said. Be quiet if you want to. I said that let's find out if it constitutes a public meeting discussion prior to the meeting being called to order. Then we will know in the future.
Mr. Chair,
do we have to do that before we just leave this here because it did happen?
I would say.
If you turn this around and you look at it a different way, if the three of you were out at a restaurant and you were discussing district business, but you hadn't done a public notice and you hadn't called a meeting to order, you'd still be violating the OPMA. So to err on the side of caution, I would leave the information in the minutes. You can just say this discussion occurred before the meeting was officially called to order and leave it in there, because you were all together as a quorum trying to decide whether or not to cancel the meeting. So if you don't leave it in there, then you're kind of withholding something that happened, whether you made a board decision or not with a motion. I think the motion as being a legal motion before the meeting was called to order, that's where, if you wanted to talk about Robert's rules and split legal hairs, that's where I would go. But I think you should leave some information in there in the minutes, because you need to know what happened.
In theory, Eric, in line 20, it needs to just say there was a quorum and this was discussed. And then on line 40, it says the chair announced the start of the meeting at 1:20.
That sounds good to me.
Except for you need to figure out who moved to cancel the meeting. Somebody's going to have
to not
listen to the audio.
Just do a generic statement
saying
the board discussed canceling the meeting.
Well, because it says, I mean, the chair says, I'd like to go ahead and cancel the meeting.
Okay, so the chair asked to cancel the meeting, the board discussed it, decided not to.
That's from a transcript, right?
Yes.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Can I recommend that we table approval of these meeting minutes to the next board meeting to allow time to get clarification from MRSC exactly what information needs to be provided?
Well, I would like your recommendation. Since Samantha is here, let's place 19 through 42 on what you just said, and just review 43 on to see if there's any other comments by anybody at this time. Do you want to do that, or to hold the whole thing over? What's the board want to do?
I think if the board wants to ask here, we should discuss it.
That makes sense to me. I think the pertinent thing is when Sarah talks to MRSC, she asks, what is a meeting of meeting? And I think Sean hit on one. There's three, that's a meeting. So what's the official start of that meeting? I think those are a couple of questions to be clear on.
Did you get those, or did you read them back?
But either way, these events happen and need to be in the minutes.
Yeah.
So we don't have to know the answer to that before we approve that this happened.
If you do a work session.
Okay, well, you guys are getting going rogue on me. I'm trying to ask Sarah if she got that back. And your guys are talking over the top of her. So go ahead.
Yeah, I generally understand the topic and can follow up with MRSC. The questions that I wrote down that Doug asked were, when is a meeting a meeting? When does it start? Did you have a third one?
No, those are the two questions.
Okay. Go ahead, Richard.
And then could you also send us a copy of the audio file so we can listen to it?
Yeah, it's really large and does not fit in our Outlook email system, but it is available on our website.
What is on the website?
Yep. Okay. So anybody can access it at any time.
Under the meeting, the board meeting
materials,
or whatever you call it, type.
Graph
thing.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to go through it, or just hold it over.
I know.
I'm okay. Hold it over. Hold it over. Done.
I'd like to do it with Sarah.
Just here. Okay. So let's just go to page. Let's just go to page two.
I don't think that we can change any of the public comment.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
So 49 to 96. Then we'll go to 97 to 143. Do we have
anything, any public comment in writing?
Chair invited any other public comment to be submitted in writing. And you have any public comment in writing? Was there any public, can you check and see if there was any public comment in writing?
Yeah, I think this is, I think there was, the RCO letter was one of the ones submitted.
Okay.
I'll double check.
So let's list out. So list written. What else did you have? Just Shauna, Jason comments. Okay. You have anything else on that page?
I'm impressed that we got through the executive session in 10 minutes. That's pretty good.
Let's note that. Okay, 144 to 194. Let's see, what's what line's that?
155.
155. Chair requested to see Visa statement as part of final report,
financial report.
For financial report, what does that say?
Well, you always have to ask for that. So, yeah, we've asked for it to be.
Chair requested to see Visa statement as a part of financial report.
And I think that Amy had an email to you guys instead of including them.
The last meeting, she emailed it on Friday. So,
yep. Email. Okay.
Chair requested to see Visa statement. What else do we have on there for notes? Here, we got some highlighted stuff. Okay, 144 to 191. Uh, 192 to 138. Your yellow. You should have a pin when you're doing this. So, Lyndon Richard, okay. It's just a note to me. Okay. Okay. So on to the next page. Oh, so we have some things. We have 239 to 284. Okay, not hearing anything. And then the last page, 285, 292.
Yeah, there's something here. This wasn't true. 276.
Board decision for chair to sign district checks on behalf of the district auditor next week. Yeah, I've thought more about that. I think that the board decided that, and I didn't necessarily agree, but I didn't disagree, so. Remember that?
I have it marked.
Yeah.
In the transcription, but I guess it could be wrong. Basically it was the conversation where Richard said that he wasn't going to sign checks. And at that point, we asked, Eric Johnson, we might not have your auditor sign the checks. I said, I don't understand why. You responded with, he has an issue because of the position, the way it's described. Amy asked if there was a way that we could work through that. Doug said that any of us can sign checks. It's not a great practice, but anyone can. I said that was correct. Eric, you said go ahead. And let's see, then I said that it, don't perceive it as a threat. And Richard said that he never got training. Then it was suggested that I do it again.
Yeah, we're just basically looking at the board decided for the chair to sign the district checks on behalf of the district auditor next week.
Was that a true statement?
Well, I never was for or against that. I just kind of
agree. It was discussed and we said, I don't remember the exact words, but I remember you agreed. It wasn't like a formal decision or anything like that.
So do you want to take that 276 out, because you just said it wasn't a board decision, and I'm saying I didn't agree or disagree.
Well, you agreed. I don't know. It's a board decision. We all agreed that, I mean, we discussed, we all discussed it.
All but me.
No, you.
Well, just read the transcript.
Mr. Chair.
Yep.
You know what solves this stuff?
Hmm?
You know what solves all of this kind of thing?
This bullet point.
No. I, Tony, will make, Wilson, make the motion that we do thus and so.
Yeah.
I, Lynn Powell, I second that motion. Instead of the board says, what do you guys think? That kind of thing destroys minutes, it destroys time, it destroys understanding, agreement. It just is destructive as a practice. That's why Roberts is there.
Okay.
Either make a motion and second it or move on.
Okay. Okay. So I say we move on.
No, I mean in general in your meeting.
Right, yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying. Okay, so we'll just let it stand?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Sarah.
A citizen parliamentarian. That's been done. This is way better.
Okay, so all we have left is information about this.
Yep.
We're going to leave it there anyway, right?
Yep, okay, let's go on. Okay, so financial reports. Monthly financial reports. Okay, sir, are you going to leave?
Yeah, Amy did prepare these financial reports that are in your packet before she left. If you have any questions about detail in here, I'll take note of them, write them down, and follow up with you since she's not here to answer them immediately.
See you, Jeff. Have a great day.
See you.
Well, thank you for your service. See you guys.
Bye.
What is the...
So,
Nakoda or whatever. I have given you my glasses. So.
Rioche?
Yeah.
It's the copier.
Yeah.
So I just, do we have another board member going through and checking everything? Saying as we don't have Steve Davis anymore, do we have a board member that's going through and checking everything?
That has been a little bit of a challenge since we've implemented the two board member check signing process to get another individual to do that. Doug has done the check signing process the last two times, but it's been challenging to ensure that there's a second signer that's available and willing to sign checks. So on this particular one, Doug was the second signer.
Okay.
I don't think that's, was that your question? Because the way I understood your question was, has the supervisor reviewed these prior to this meeting?
Well, no, I'm just curious because typically there's two signatures on the check register, mm-hmm. like Steve Davis and then the board auditor. It's the second.
She said, is there a second individual looking through these since we don't have Steve Davis?
In any case, we don't have someone with the CPA background that Steve Davis has.
We said that we could still, I read through that, and we said in there that he could still employ him to review it, but just not sign, or?
I was under my understanding that you guys said we no longer needed his services.
I didn't say that. It would be a board decision.
Well, we just read about it for minutes.
I'm not sure. I think there was a lot of discussion centered around that. I don't know if there was actual formal board decision on what to do with our relationship with Steve.
I did note in your report, Sarah, that you said you, before Amy left, cross-trained in that. Good stroke. That's a good thing. That's something we have in previous regimes.
Yeah.
Some concerns, and that's why it was in the second. Thank you.
So are we on the financial report right now or the check register?
Whatever, monthly financial report.
Okay.
this is the trek bridge. Okay, does anybody want to, any questions or motions for approval or?
Well, if we're not on the check register, we can't make a motion yet, right? Because we're on the financial report.
Okay, so are you, we done with the financial report then?
I don't have any
more questions. Okay, so April check register.
I'll make a motion to approve the check register dated 3/23/2018 with check number 19549 through 19597, totaling $83,872.70 with no voided checks.
Second.
Okay. What was the cheat sheets? What are those?
That's our timesheet.
Okay. Bought new timesheets.
What?
T-sheets? You bought more timesheets or what is it?
No, it's the system that we track our timesheets in. It's an online program.
Is that a new expense or?
Nope. It's probably an annual renewal.
There was another dispute resolution class or is this from the stuff we were before? No, that's 10. They haven't, that's unclear transactions. Okay, Amy.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
I've got a question. Chip number 1954 for QWG Applied Geology.
Let me look over here.
46.
What page is that on there?
First page.
Page one?
Of the text, the reconciliation.
Yeah.
It's for
$26.95. Geology. Yeah, I can follow up. $246.2. Oh, yeah. I'll follow up on that. I have the detail. Because we have all of the documentation, I just don't have it off the top of my head. Like
QWG Applied Geology. It's for $26.95.
Yes.
$26.95. Yeah. And then the Whitlock Limited Partnership, is that for this month or next month?
That was from February, so it was for March.
We were 3 months ahead, 2 months ahead, January,
but
February,
we were behind.
So March. She was paid ahead of month.
Is that the rent?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, how come there's another payment when it was done on the 20? There's two checks.
Well, the Whitlock for $748, I was assuming some kind of maintenance or something agreement.
We do pay common area maintenance fees.
So, then you're not going to strike the parking lot, but you pay them anyway.
I'm taking notes on the checks you're asking questions about, and I'll follow up.
Any other questions, Supervisor? Okay, no more questions? Doug saying no. It's evening. Are you done with it, Linda?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll, all in favor, can you read it back to me, Carol? The motion.
Heather, can you read the motion for the check register, please?
Let me see.
There should be Samantha moved to approve the...
Samantha moved to approve check numbers 19549 through 19597 for a total of $83,872.70, and Doug seconded.
Okay, and then can I friendly amendment with no voided checks?
Yeah, put that in there.
You did say that.
I did.
Okay,
yeah.
So put in there with no voided checks.
With no voided checks.
Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, unanimous. Resolution number 2018-01, cost of living adjustment. Discussion?
I'll make a motion. Because we kind of have to have a motion to discuss it, right?
Not that we don't, but we can.
Okay.
You don't have to have a motion to discuss it. Yeah, we're supposed to.
For a resolution, yeah.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 2018-01, subject cost of living adjustment.
And I'll second, provided that you spell out CP in the first time.
Okay, discussion.
It's below what CPI is right now, so I mean, I see no reason to not give a COLA.
Into financial condition, is it appropriate this time?
It's already budgeted in the budget we approved, so I'd say yes.
We approved the first budget. So it wasn't approved in the budget we did in January?
In December, yes.
December?
Don't we have new budgets now, revised?
We gave you an updated snapshot when we received additional funding in February and a more robust detail once things had equalized. It's is in your approved budget.
Go ahead, Doug. Question for you, Sarah. What would be the total cost of this COLA?
Yeah, I have that information. Let me pull that up for you. The total cost is $5,068.
For the whole year.
Any more questions? Discussion? Okay. Motions, huh?
Did we approve this in a budget?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is they give you a budget, and then we approve the budget that they showed us, and you know, put to go forward. And so what they're saying is they stuck this in that budget that we approved. So,
point of clarification, cost of living increases are always budgeted for annually. It's part of the standard procedure of putting those budget packages together.
Why do we have to have a resolution for it?
Because this is the time that we're making this effective date happen, and so it's a resolution from the board acknowledging that that's, or making that effective as of April 1.
I think of the budget as a plan for how we're going to spend money, and this is the stamp of approval. Yeah, we intend to spend it that way.
Yeah. Any more discussion? Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say the same?
Aye.
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 Okay, doesn't pass. All right. Schedule 22 State Auditor Report.
This is the report to the state auditor that we do every year. Amy did prepare this before she left. It's included here in your packet. Excuse me. And so this also needs formal board approval before it is submitted.
Sorry, just to take a step back. Usually we have quarterly staff payroll expense. This should be the month for first quarter, right? January, February, March. And I asked Amy to make sure that those were available. Are they available? Remember, we usually pass those quarterly, what we spent on staff and what their comp and whatever built up is.
Are those passed around in a folder?
Yep.
I do have the folder upstairs. I didn't realize that was in that. So when we take a break, I can run there and grab them.
Do you want to just email them to us?
I don't think they can be emailed.
They've been in the past. Have been.
I'm happy. I mean, if I have them, I'm happy to grab them.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. So this needs an approval. Mm-hmm. And what is it?
This is the Schedule 22. This is our report to the state auditor that we do annually.
And Amy, you did this?
Mm-hmm.
Typically, it's the treasurer and the auditor. I did it with her for 2 years.
This is the first I've seen.
Sarah, any red flags in this? Any anomalies? Yeah. Any weirdnesses?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing was noted. Yeah.
So we're anticipating clean.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any reason that Samantha was involved in it last time and Richard's not involved in it this time?
Well, this is your draft, and it is due in May, so we can certainly incorporate
the draft and then I'd go over it with her, but she's no longer here, so. That might be one of the reasons.
End of May.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we would need a motion in a second.
Richard, maybe you should want to go over it?
Do it at the approve it at the May meeting.
Okay, do you want to do that? Okay, so we table it till May meeting.
Is there somebody here now I can go over this with? I mean, not now, but I mean in the district.
Yep.
Okay, so who do you have now? You had Amy, and then the new gal came in, Heather, also, or?
Right.
And then she's not here anymore. Correct. And so you have another gal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
What's her first name?
Susan.
Will she be able to explain anything on this, or how well is she versed? What's her background?
Yeah, she has an excellent background in actually doing some consulting in QuickBooks for some companies in New York City. She's worked in nonprofit administration and is familiar with grant processes. I think she's going to be a great fit for the district.
Okay, good. So Richard? You want to set up a time for them to get together, or Richard, how do you want to handle that?
I'll communicate with this.
Okay.
I'm curious why 8908 is printed out with this.
And attached to this?
Yeah.
As a requirement that we fulfill this out annually. It's probably just a site cited in here.
Okay, so CREP project approval, is that in our packet?
No, that's not. That was something that we just added under agenda review.
Okay.
Let me find what things are. So this is part of an existing CREP plan in the Skookum check, and it's a multiple phase project. So they are implementing the next phase of that project, and in doing so are requesting an increase in their practice incentive payment loan from the commission. And so I have that document here. If you'd like to take a look at the increase, it's just a little over $6,000. So I wanted to bring that to the board for approval.
Can you give us more information? Can you give us more information on this?
What are you looking for specifically? The Proactive Incentive Loan is operated through the Conservation Commission, which helps the landowner front the money for implementation for CREP until the program reimburses those costs. So the commission can provide through this practice incentive payment loan those funds. They do the implementation, and then once the entire project is completed, CREP will pay for the full 100% cost. So when there's multiple practices within that or multiple phases of the project, it's a real hardship on the landowner to be out 100% of the cost for a really long period of time. So there's this opportunity that the commission has to make this program successful, to reduce that barrier for our landowners to participate and implement these practices. So once the project is completed, CREC will pay the full 100% cost back to the commission.
So this is basically a loan to the landowner, or an advance to the landowner practices?
Right, to do the implementation up front.
And then is this landowner under a current contract for
yep.
CREC?
Yep, this is installing the next phase.
Any comments on Ms. Shaga?
Nope, Sarah explained it pretty well.
Okay.
Staff recommendation?
Approve. And just to clarify, when you're looking at it, the initial amount was already approved by yourselves, and so it's just the increase. It's roughly a little over 6,000.
So it increased because the cost, the landowner put that much more into it?
They're doing the next phase of the project.
Okay, next phase.
Mm-hmm. So were they advanced for the first stage then?
Mm-hmm.
And then so that would be completed, and then this is a full another second stage, so that, but the second stage is more than the first stage was, so that's why it needs to be the increase?
It doesn't look like it in the numbers there, because there's that base amount, and then you see that the increase is a little over 6,000.
Okay. So, let's see here. Then you need a motion for approval, correct?
Yes, and a signature on that sheet.
So,
I'll make a motion to approve the CREC adjustment for the Riverhead Bridge project from $28,180 to $35,358.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Was there a reason? Sorry, Mr. Chair, this is.
Go for it.
I shouldn't have missed
it. That's right.
Is there a reason we could have gotten this beforehand? Did it just come in?
Yeah, it was just, yeah, it did. The request just came in right after the packets were sent out.
Okay, F, MOU Shellfish Fund approval.
Yeah, so this is, again, already funding that's been allocated and approved by the board through our Shellfish Work Program. This is with Thurston County Public Health and Social Services. This is the MOU that allows them to utilize their funding to implement their piece, which is the septic riser rebate. I'm providing you with a copy, and I just received this today actually. I'm providing you with a copy of the original proposal underneath, and then the MOU or the memorandum of agreement to authorize them to receive reimbursement for their expenses under the Shellfish Work Program in that MOU on top.
This was the program we approved already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to approve this.
Yes.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Well, you sign this copy here?
Yes, please, same. Thing.
They need to get some new stationery. Kathy Wilkins had her own barrel art commissioners anymore.
Right. They had our old logo too. That one I could edit.
Good thing you said.
Kathy Wilkins all over the website too.
She's still there.
She's everywhere.
That's kind of a bad deal because the board asked you to take all that off and pull all that.
Yeah, we are definitely trying to work through and review where we can. Sometimes there are some pages that still have that.
It's been 3 months.
Apologies.
But they're not allowed to any overtime right now. So they only have a limited time to do all their jobs.
G, RCO amendment approval. Is that in our packet or is that on?
Yep, this one is as well. This is for just, it's the same story as last time where we have the next, this is the capital budget, the late capital budget. What they did was release funding through the RCO grant in chunks. And so this is the final installment that will carry us through the rest of this fiscal year before the new contract comes. And then when the new contract comes, it will be a full contract.
Is this number four?
Technically, this is number seven in terms of amendments.
Because I remember we've seen it before, right?
Right.
Because we had increased value. They increased some of the money.
Right, right. This is number seven, looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for $280,000.
No. 15, yeah, this is just the last $15,000 to carry that contract, which
it's
totals.
It's just done. Ugh, it's done a little differently than we've seen in the past. Before we had a secondary line.
That was when they increased the funding, that we had the secondary line.
Okay.
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chair, to approve the amendment number seven of this with the Resource Conservation Office.
Sorry, Dan, can you say that a little louder? Sorry.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the amendment number seven with the Resource Conservation Office for adding $15,000.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion?
Seems pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, it's unanimous. Agency, you want me to sign it? Interperson C, agency?
Please. Both copies, please.
Take a 10-minute break. So, how does the rest of the board feel about that?
Yep.
You're hearing me, yes?
Sure. Yep.
Okay, let's take a 10-minute break. So, it is 4:03. I'd like to be back here doing 4:13.